The Virgin Queen Chihuahua has spoken. Whenever someone hears something that had nothing to do with them and decides to take it very personally, you know you're dealing with a woman on her period. Despite his high-pitched voice and flamingly effeminate mannerisms, the diminutive podcaster Nick Fuentes is probably not a biological woman. He merely acts like one. He took an article I wrote last week straight to his weeping heart and, in a cunty 18-minute act of shrieking vengeance, he made several personal attacks against me. As someone who's known for unapologetically bitch-slapping women who deserve it, allow me to proceed. The article that he took very personally was called Rich Snobs vs. Poor Slobs, The Schism Among Racist Whites. It was first published on Countercurrents and picked up by the Uns Review. When I woke up yesterday morning, people were messaging me about Fuentes' response to the article. He'd spent a full 18 minutes kvetching about what I'd written, but mostly about me, on his show Tuesday night. He'd also implied that I was somehow afraid to mention him by name.
I go on Uns Review and I'm scrolling through the articles and I see Jim Goad, who is sort of like one of my old enemies. He wrote an article about this Oliver Anthony thing. So he does this article about Oliver Anthony and all this. And basically the whole article is just a screed against me.
You can read the article. I linked to it twice above. This
article about this Oliver Anthony thing
didn't mention Oliver Anthony once. I still haven't even heard the song that gained him some temporary notoriety, nor have I mentioned him until now. But the self-absorbed it girl of the waning tradcath movement pivots and says the article wasn't really about Oliver Anthony at all. It was all about him. As should be clear to anyone who actually read the article, I've been talking about the chasm between white trash and white cash since the mid-90s. But leave it to an extremely online, self-absorbed femboy with a high-pitched voice who wasn't even alive in the mid-90s to make it all about him.
I do command find on my computer and there's like 20 mentions of my name in the comments, everybody else. So it's not just me. Everybody recognized it was basically, the piece was a subtweet about me.
No, you yipping Taco Bell mascot. The article had nothing to do with you. But because you took the article so personally, and since you're such a vain, blushing orchid, you felt the need to lash out against me.
The guy's like a militant atheist, and he's one of these Gen X punk rockers. These insufferable Gen X punk rockers that's still in their 60s can't get over how fucking cool they are with their Converse and jeans.
I guess I should take it as a compliment that I come off cool to someone who's always seemed like a pint-sized nerd to me. But I've never claimed to be an atheist, much less a militant one. I've never been a punk rocker. I was born in 1961, which makes me a boomer according to these entirely arbitrary goalposts. As one of these meme-addled, gullible morons who buys into the idiocies of generational astrology, Fuentes couldn't even get that fact straight. The Virgin Queen Chihuahua continues.
And here's a guy who, the little I know about his background, maybe could have had some degree of mainstream success or something. Here's a guy that for no reason, other than his own bad decisions, wound up a resentful, seething old guy that nobody's ever heard of.
He's been doing the same high school cheerleader,
yeah, I'm more popular than you,
thing for as long as I've been aware of his existence, which is about 6 years. If popularity and wealth were the sole gauges of merit, then Tucker Carlson, Charlie Kirk, and Ben Shapiro, all of whom Fuentes has incessantly whined about, are vastly superior to Nick Fuentes. I realized a long time ago that when people attack you personally, they tend to come blazing at you with things that would hurt them. For example, if someone thinks you'd be mortified if they revealed embarrassing personal details about you, they're actually signaling that this is a sore spot for them. So the greasy little twink brat apparently thinks the whole
nobody's ever heard of him
thing will bruise me irreparably. In doing so, he's signaling something about himself. More on that in a moment. I guess it never occurred to him that mainstream success was never my aim. If popularity or wealth were ever goals of mine, I obviously would have gone about things differently. Part of the reason I'm not wealthy or more successful is clearly due to bad decisions I've made in my personal life. I wrote a whole book about it. Another reason is that speaking plainly has always been far more important to me than being popular or successful. I realize this is incomprehensible to a shallow bullshit artist who's addicted to e-fame and money. Yet another part is that I sincerely miscalculated how much the average person values truth. He then goes on to contrast me with other men of my age who are lavishly wealthy.
You look at some of the most successful people in the world today, some of the most successful white men, and probably the majority of them have a story about how they came from poverty, parents were abusive, they underwent some hardship. That is probably true of at least half, or maybe the majority. It's a good percentage when you go and you read into any of the most successful people, or you watch 60 Minutes about them, or whatever.
Oh, he gets his statistical evidence about how many of the
most successful people in the world today
come from poverty and hardship from watching 60 Minutes. Yeah, we're dealing with a real rhetorical wizard here, a downright brainiac.
And although Goad wants to write and say that we should feel pity or sympathy for the plight of the rural whites or Appalachian whites or so-called white trash or something because they were destined for this by circumstance, by the system, by the economy, his article says, oh, you know, the poor white people, we can't blame them because they are victims. And it is so poisonous to our prospects of achieving even that grim scenario when you have white people saying, it's okay if we lose because the world isn't fair. It's okay.
Nowhere in the article did I say anything from which a remotely intelligent or honest person would infer,
it's okay if we lose because the world isn't fair.
I clearly said that white solidarity is impeded by affluent whites shitting repeatedly upon less affluent whites and saying it's all their fault. Lil Nicky, maybe you actually read my article and realized you have no effective retort for it. Maybe you're fundamentally as dishonest as I suspect you are and decided to completely misrepresent what I said. Or maybe you were so busy name-searching yourself in the hundreds of replies to the article, which again, never mentioned you or Oliver Anthony, that you didn't even read it. Instead, you distill it all down to misleading sound bites that are digestible to people who are too online and or stupid to grasp anything more complicated. You know, the lonely, barely adolescent virgins who are so historically illiterate that they probably think you invented the slogan, America First. It's easy to see how soft you are, from your chirpy voice that apparently will never deepen to your swishy hand gestures. How absurdly weak and spoiled. How your life has been one giant marshmallow pillow. How a 5-mile-an-hour wind would flatten you. You can also tell how some actual adversity and hardship would crush you like a bug. Jeepers, you've had the indomitable will to survive being banned on Twitter. Oh, the horror. For all you whine about others whining, it hasn't stopped you from whining about boomers, from whining about Jews, from whining about single moms, from whining about atheists, or from whining about women in general for the fact that you're such a screamingly obvious closet case. Unlike Fuentes, I've actually been with women. I showed my wife, who was entirely unaware of his existence, a short clip of him speaking. I said, what do you think of this guy? Without missing a beat, she said, gay. So gay. Like his butthole must be this wide. Like the much-missed Davis Orini, he's apparently the only person in the world unaware of how gay he is. About a half dozen years ago, I had a cordial discussion with Fuentes on my podcast about the boomer meme and how it was stupid. I'd never heard of him until about a week earlier when I saw him call someone a fat boomer faggot on a podcast. But he'd clearly heard about me and had been reading me for years. He didn't strike me as particularly bright and was a complete lightweight at debating, and I easily bested him on every logical point that we discussed. When he posted a link to the discussion on Twitter, he called me brilliant. But in my subsequent interactions with him, he's had to drag about a half dozen guys along with him just to pretend that he's capable of keeping up with me without a cackling cacophony of his doofus sycophants by his side. The only other two times I've conversed with him after the initial boomer debate were when he and about a half dozen other Knicks suckers shouted over me on two successive live streams because I'd defended a white woman after she was raped by a black guy. That was the only reason I went on those streams, but they never seemed to mention that part. These virgin incel oddballs are so twisted about women, such reflexively anti-white, Kanye West slurping wiggers, that they took the black rapist side without knowing any of the facts. And then when it turned out that the white woman's rapist was convicted and sentenced to 25 years based on the DNA evidence that they were certain didn't exist, the members of his all-anonymous boy-groper army sure as hell shut the fuck up about it. That's because they have zero honor. They are the empty and ephemeral effluence of the digital age. Many have pointed out how Fuentes made some clearly insurrectionist statements outside the Capitol on January 6, 2021, such as these.
It appears we are taking the Capitol back from the police right now. Keep marching and don't relent. Never relent. Break down the barriers and disregard the police. This Capitol belongs to us now. These politicians don't represent us. They betray us. And we are forcibly evicting them from the people's house. They must live in fear of the American people who they have betrayed over and over again.
But how odd it is that he emerged with no legal charges, while people who said and or did far less are now in federal prison. Many have accused him of being a federal agent. I try to stay away from Fed accusations because I think they're poisonous and foster a climate of distrust that the federal agents must absolutely love. It's also telling how this wannabe future leader seems to discard those in his inner circle again and again and again. One by one, they all see through the charade and realize you are even further up your own ass than Richard Spencer ever was. If you can't even keep your pizza delivery boys in line, good luck trying to rule the world, Little Caesar. Your whole Tradcaft shtick has lost steam, as most of its influencers have been outed as closet cases, rapists, and pedophiles. Over a year ago, I relished watching you get eviscerated by Mr. Medicare, who has more talent in just one of his cancer cells than you do in your entire shrimpy body. There's a certain level of fame where one refuses interviews with people because they don't have the time or interest. And then there's the point where they pick fights with nobodies because they're on their way down. And that's where Nick Fuentes is after merely a half dozen years in the spotlight. He peaked about 3 years ago. Now he's fading, and fading fast, picking fights with a nobody who wasn't even thinking about him until he did an 18-minute stream about me. Even your armies of online anonymous virgin incel fake cath harassers have dwindled significantly. You're a hollow salesman. You grift off lonely virgins who are as clueless about women as you are. But increasingly, the people aren't buying what you're selling. People are gradually realizing that I was right about you all along. Enjoy your fleeting e-celebrity, little lamb. I'm sure that somewhere, after you're done using the blacklight to search for cum stains from your latest right-hand yes boy, as you bask in your own afterglow, you realize that you've already peaked. Your Cozy.tv streaming site bled nearly 20% of its viewership last month alone. Meanwhile, I've written exactly what I mean for longer than you've been alive. That's my measure of success, one you'll never come close to matching. As the hilarious dead Jew Don Rickles used to say, "You were a big star once, but face it, it's over." As the morose dead German Friedrich Nietzsche wrote, That which is falling should also be pushed. This is me pushing you.